You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hills, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
It's time.
It's time.
Time to get in the zone.
Time to get in the zone.
With the 49ers Web Zone.
This is the No Huddle Podcast
with Al and Brian.
49ers Web Zone, No Huddle Podcast, part of the Odyssey Network. I'm Al Sacco with you, and I am pumped to talk draft, and I'm pumped to talk draft with our guest today. He is ESPN NFL draft analyst and insider, Matt Miller, and he's also a 49ers fan. Matt, it's good to have you here, buddy.
I appreciate you, man. And yes, to clear up all the confusion, I live around Kansas City, and my whole family are Chiefs fans. So people are like, oh, this guy's a Chiefs fan. You can't see it on the shelf behind me. It's like full of Niners stuff. I've been a Niners fan since I was 6 years old. So
that's great.
Happy to be on with you guys today. And you know, this is something that's like close to my interest as well, not just as a draft analyst, but as a Niners fan.
Did you grow up in KC?
Yeah. And so it's funny because like I have two older brothers and neither of them are Chiefs fans either. Like, so I didn't adopt like being a fan from my parents at all. My parents don't really care about sports. And so I was allowed to just pick my own teams. And so I grew up a Niners fan because they were on, like they were what was on TV. So it's been fun. You know, like the first 15 years of my life, they never had a losing season. It was amazing. I got spoiled.
Yeah.
And so it's been, you know, I just got hooked on, you know, I was at the tail end of Montana, but like Jerry Rice and Steve Young and, you know, so many great players during that time period that I was just hooked.
Yeah, it's the same for me. We're probably pretty close in age. So I have a Yankees hat on right now. I'm a New Yorker, and I grew up in New York, and my dad's a Colts fan, and my mom's a Bills fan. But I just grew up watching the Niners, and I fell in love towards the tail end of Montana and Rice, and that was it. And it's ever since then, I'm obsessed. So we're in the same boat, Epic Man, in terms of that. But so I want to ask you, you know, when I look at the draft and I look at the Niners, so this team appears like they're still going to be good in 2024, right? They still have a lot of very talented roster.
Yeah.
But when you look at it sort of moving forward, guys are aging. There's contracts that are coming to an end. So I feel like when you think of 2025, beyond, you know, 2024 and beyond in 2025, there's a lot of different ways they can go here. But I think O-line is where a lot of people sort of have their blinders on with. So I want to start there. Do you think that's a huge need, and can you see them addressing it very early in the draft?
So I do think it's a huge need. And I will say, like, I've been banging that drum since, like, October. You know, so it wasn't just, like, a postseason overreaction. It was when I really started diving in on team needs, you know, probably around October, and looking at, like, okay, Trent Williams is a Hall of Famer. He's getting older. And, you know, I'm gonna cry the day he retires because he's such a huge part of this team. Aaron Banks has been – okay, he's a free agent after this year. And then on the right side of the line, you know, you have guys who are there, you know, if you had one of these dudes as a starter, you'd be like, okay, we have a good offensive line around them. I'm not worried about it. But I think when you look at the totality of the line from center to right tackle, you don't have anyone, you know, kind of lifting that group up. You know, you can look at so many teams like Kansas City 2 years ago during their Super Bowl run when they beat the Eagles. It was like that. If like you've got really solid guys at, you know, three or four spots, it's okay to have a right tackle who's struggling. You know, this year, Kansas City at times, good starters at four spots. It's okay if your left tackle's struggling at times or if your right tackle's struggling at times. You kind of lift each other up because of on the offensive line. The unit matters as much as the individual. But when I look at this group, it's like the scheme covers up things. You know, Purdy covers mm-hmm. up some things. But gosh, like having that, you know, more of an impact player along the offensive line, I think would be huge for this team. So yeah, when I did my final team needs, I think they might actually be out now. I'm not entirely sure. It was like, you know, right tackle, guard, center, mm-hmm. you know, like those are the spots that I would start with for San Francisco.
And you look at sort of the way the Saints built around Drew Brees, who was a smaller quarterback, the interior O-line is so important.
Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan, I feel like, you know, there was Alex Mack, and I feel like they spent money on Weston Richburg. Do you think a center early on, not in the first round, but maybe third, fourth round, they would, because Brendel's 33. So they have to have, you know, a succession plan there. Do you see a center? Are there any centers that you like around that range?
Man, I'll tell you, I would probably draft Zach Frazier from West Virginia in the first round, depending on what the board looks like, right? Like, but I love Zach Frazier, and I think he is tailor-made for a zone scheme. You know, his movement ability, his strength. He was a four-time state wrestling champ in high school. Like, he's just tough as hell, really athletic. And so would he be a first-round player for every team? Probably not. But I think for San Francisco, I would consider him just because I think he's plug and play and he's going to give you that toughness and the agility on the inside. The center class is actually really strong this year, though. So, like, even if you don't go Zach Frazier at 32, like, Tanner Bordellini from Wisconsin in the third round, or Mason McCormick from South Dakota State in the third round, Bo Limmer from Arkansas, probably right in that range too. Mm-hmm. You know, those, there are guys that would be really good starters in a zone scheme right out of the gate. So I would strongly advocate for a center. And I think, you know, we can look across the league at some of the great offenses, you know, again, Kansas City with Creed Humphrey, Baltimore with Tyler Linderbaum, like, sure. So many teams have invested in the pivot point up front. The Eagles with Jason Kelsey for forever, you know, so I think left tackle and center, to me, the two most important positions up front. So I do think it's a spot you invest.
If they do decide to go tackle late in the first round, there's guys like Morgan, Guyton, Sumatia, Umagagi, I'm probably going to mess his name up, but are there any of those guys that you like specifically for the Niners, those tackles, or is there another late round tackle you prefer?
I wanted Talise Fuaga from Oregon State so bad. And I would tweet and tag John Lynch in it. And then he got too good. He's not going to be there at 31. So they won too many games or he got too good. So I think Jordan Morgan from Arizona would be interesting just because of the zone scheme. Mm-hmm. He would be another guy you have to draft at 31 as opposed to waiting. The weird thing that I feel at tackle this year is there is a drop off. Like, you've got the, like, 11 guys basically who are likely going to be top 40 picks. And after that, you know, that there's just a lot of like, oh, this guy looks like a really good backup, or okay, like he could be a good, like Christian Jones from Texas would be a good right tackle, but he doesn't really fit the Niners scheme necessarily. And so Roger Rosengarten from Washington, you know, would be a good player for the scheme. I know my buddy Mel Kiper had him in the first round of the Niners a while back. I think he's more of like a third round player. So you have a drop off, you know, to some degree after those. We're going to see so many in the first round. So it's like, if one's there at 31, you almost would move on that position just because there's not the depth. And I think that's really important when teams build out their board. Like, we talked about center. Like, okay, we know there's going to be some starting centers in the third or fourth round. So if there's a tackle there that you like, yeah, take Tyler Guyton, take a right tackle at 31, and then, you know, come back to center after you maybe address corner or wide receiver in round two or round three.
And as they move forward and continue to build around Purdy, wide receiver looks great in 2024, assuming Ayuk's going to be there. You have Ayuk, yeah. You have Debo, you have Juwan Jennings. Then after that, kind of like, well, you hope you sign Ayuk long-term. Is Debo coming to the end of the line? Jennings has just signed for this year. I think wide receiver is a huge need moving forward. And I feel like they're going to probably take one sooner than people think. What guys do you think would be a good fit for this team? Second, third round, if they don't go first?
Yeah, it's tough because it's like, what are they looking for? You know, when they drafted Danny Gray in the third round, that was I'm not going to lie, that was like my jaw hit the floor. I couldn't believe they, you know, drafted him that early. But it was like, okay, maybe they're looking for like a speed guy because that's not really, it's not Debo's game. And, you know, Ayuk's kind of a thicker guy, although a really good vertical player. So it's like looking at wide receiver, it's okay, what is the player type that they're looking for? Because we can look at guys like, you know, Xavier Worthy is that stretch the field, you know, record-setting speed that could play here. Xavier Leggett is your Deebo Samuel. You know, 6'1", 220, 4'3", speed. Like, he's a bully. Same with Malachi Corley. They fit that mold really, really well. But it's like, what do you, if you're trying to replace Ayuk, I'm going to lean more toward, you know, a Xavier Worthy or, you know, a Ricky Pearsall or Troy Franklin. If you're starting to think about, okay, well, maybe we have, you know, Deebo gets beat up a little bit. We want a player that can be kind of like Juwan Jennings, you know, almost like a second Deebo. Then I think that changes what you're looking for. But, you know, it's a stacked receiver class. I think we could see like 16 go in the top two rounds, which is insane that we could see that many go. But I'm with you. Like, I think if they can go O-line around one, receiver potentially in round two, and then, you know, I think at some point you got to look at corner. At some point you got to look at the interior offensive line. You got those three picks in the fourth that are going to be really valuable. But, you know, even a receiver at 31, I wouldn't completely like turn my nose at that, just because we don't know. We don't know with Ayuk, you know. And I feel like it's such a similar playbook, you know, as to what Deebo did, and Deebo got paid. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. But if the value's there at 31, I think you have to go with the receiver.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, The Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Where are you on paying Ayuk? Because the wide receiver value is just exploding. And like you said, this class is loaded. Would you give him number one money, or would you kind of go a different way with that?
Man, it's tough. Yeah, I have to separate like the fan part of my brain who like doesn't want to see him leave from the team building part of my, you know, like analytical part. I wouldn't pay him. I wouldn't. Now, I will say this. I would have paid Ayuk before I paid Deebo. And I understand like at the time that would have been a hot take. But as much as I love Deebo, he's been banged up since college. Like, it's just his play style. He takes a lot of punishment. So at the time, I thought Ayuk was a better long-term play just because of play style. So, but they made their choice, and Deebo is a great player. I love Deebo. I would hate to see him on any other team, but it's just, it feels like an impossibility given where wide receiver salaries are to pay two of them. And, you know, if you had a year one rookie quarterback, you could afford to do it and make it work. I think it gets a little bit harder now that Brock has some years under his belt, and you're going to have to pay him, and you're trying to forecast that out of, you have already in Nick Bosa, the non-quarterback with the highest AAV, like $33 million a year. Trent Williams is a high paid player. Christian McCaffrey is a high paid player. It's like, something's got to give. And, you know, I think wide receiver is one of those positions where you can get immediate impact from a rookie. You can get, you know, there's guys first round, second round, third round who come in and are great players. Helpuka Nuku was a fifth round pick and was a great player. So I think that's where it would suck to see Brandon Ayuk playing for another team. But you have to understand that's how teams are built in this day and age. You know, you get a young quarterback and you support them. And when that young quarterback elevates, it's his turn to support the players around him. And that's where San Francisco's at in that timeline right now.
You mentioned corner too, and this is a position where I've been like screaming from the rooftops, like, what are we doing? Because you have Lenore, who's going to be a free agent. You have Ward, who's going to be a free agent. You have Hufanga, who's going to be a free agent. And you need another corner this year anyway, whether you're going to kick Lenore inside or you just want somebody else to the outside. They need things there. But I wonder if they value that position enough where they would maybe take a Kool-Aid McKinstry in the first round. Can you see something like that happening? Or is it going to be a later round pick, like where they got Lenore and Hufanga in the fifth round type thing?
I feel like that, like, if they take a corner at 31, I'm not going to be upset, but it doesn't feel like that's how they want to build this team. You know, it's almost like the same with the offensive line of like, we're going to have one really good player, and then we're going to fill in the gaps with, you know, late round picks and guys who are kind of journeyman type players. I would kick Lenore inside. I think he's great on the inside, and I would be trying to find that other outside corner. You know, Ambry Thomas has not been the player that he needed to be. Basically, if you're drafted in the third round by John Lynch, you're not going to be good, is what we're discovering here with Danny Gray and Ambry Thomas. Like, God, I would
unless you're Fred Warner, I guess. Yeah.
Fred Warner would be the huge exception to that argument, for sure. But I would say, you know, getting that outside corner, whether it be first round, you know, like a Kool-Aid or Ennis Rakestraw, I think would be a really good scheme fit here. Someone like that in the first round, I would be really happy about. Outside of that, it does feel like this is a team that would look at guys in like the fourth round, you know, and look at like a, maybe it's a player like Jarvis Brownlee from Louisville, who's like a, you know, really good inside player, super physical at the line of scrimmage, and you bump Lenore outside, or you take Kyrie Jackson from Oregon, who's got some injury stuff, but he's 6'4", and he fits that kind of old school Niners mold of these, you know, really big corners. So there's such good value at corner. I hope they add, like I said, they have 3 picks in round 4. I hope they add a corner somewhere in the, you know, top 150 picks of this draft, but it's a huge need. I just don't know that they'll pull the trigger on it early.
So before I let you go, Matt, I got to ask you sort of an overarching NFL question, because I think the league needs an influx of new QB talent pretty badly. And after 2021, like, I'm never getting fooled again with a QB draft class. No, and I just tell myself, Al, you know nothing with how bad that draft class was. But this class looks anyway like there's some serious quarterbacks coming in. Caleb Williams, maybe McCarthy, Daniels, we'll see. Do you think this is a legit class? We know some of these guys are going to be busts just because history tells us that. But where are you on this QB class? Do you think this is the next really solid class that's going to help maybe take the NFL into the next generation?
I don't know that I would go that far. I think it's a little more like last year, where there's some really intriguing players with a lot of upside. You know, like Caleb is great. I think he's going to be really good wherever he goes. I think Jaden Daniels has a lot of potential to be great. After that, I fall into situations where, like, Drake May in the right situation could be really good. Drake May in the wrong situation could be really bad. Same with J.J. McCarthy. So it's like, it's easy to see 6 quarterbacks come out of this draft to be starters. It's easy to see 2 quarterbacks come out of this draft to be starters. You know, you mentioned 2021, 2022 were terrible quarterback drafts. Out, you know, Trevor Lawrence with Jacksonville is the only one you would say in that time span. Like, yep, there was a hit. They got that one right. So everything looks great in early April, but the reality is these teams are going to mess up. You know, they're going to, I've been saying it for months now, New England has terrible offensive infrastructure. They don't have a left tackle. They don't have a number one wide receiver. I would argue they don't have a number two wide receiver. You know, like they have no infrastructure for this young quarterback who's going to be expected to be Tom Brady. And that if I were New England, I would build the team first. You know, look at San Francisco. It's a great example of that.
Yeah.
You know, they thought they had the team built. They swing on Trey Lance and miss, but boom, they hit on Brock Purdy. And so I think there's a lesson to be learned there of, you know, Kansas City, they built the team and they had Alex Smith, who was good, but they knew the team was built. So they go get a Patrick Mahomes. The Bears, you know, they had Justin Fields from the former regime. Who knew if that was going to work out or not, but they built the team up and they had an insurance policy in case it didn't work. And now they're going to get Caleb Williams. So, you know, I think for all these guys, like whoever goes to Minnesota, I feel like they're going to be set to have success. Whoever goes to New England, maybe not as much.
And it's nice to be a Niners fan and not have to worry about quarterback at all for once. So we're actually actually good there. So,
yeah.
All right, Matt, really, really appreciate the time. You have an open invitation here whenever you want to come back, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Niners on 3. 1, 2, 3.
Niners! 2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.